Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our virtual Mishnah Berurah here. We're holding a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Dalet, and Mirtz Hashem, today we will be learning Daf Ayin Reish Dalet Amid Aleph. We don't say Reish Ayin Dalet, Rad would be to tremble. Also, it has a not-so-pleasant connotation, so we say Ayin Reish Dalet. We pick up today on Reish Ayin Gimel Amid Beis with Simen Tav Ches Sif Beis, which is the second line down in the Shulchan Aruch. While it looks like we have a lot of Reish Ayin Gimel Amid Beis left to cover, we really have covered the vast majority of the Mishnah Berurah already. We're continuing to learn Hilchos Tchumin. Our learning today should be Oschus for Achenu Kabeis Yisrael, Hanasuna Batzaru Bashivya, Ha'imdin Be Bayam Ubein Bayabasha, Hamakim Yerachem Aleihem V'yaitzim Yitzaru Lervacha Me'afele La'ira, U'mishibud L'gu'ula Hashta Bagala of Izman Kariv V'nemar Amein. Our learning should be Oschus Refuah Shalema for Achya Godel, Moshe Ber, Ben Esther Fradel, Yitzhak Ben Zion, Ben Dusha, Rivka Bashir Aleich, Ava Hadassa, Bas Rezel Serel, Yeshua Levi, Ben Ahuva Malkachana, Trani Bas Batsheva, and Yeruchim Ben Masha. They should all have a Refu Shalema, Besaych Shar, Chole Yisrael. So let's get right to it. Reish Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, second line down in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tav Ches Sif Beis, says the Mechaber. I should mention that today's shir is going to be audio only. Says the Mechaber Sif Beis, Hameniach Eruvai Birishos HaYochid. If somebody establishes and sets up his Eruvai Tchumen, not out on the rolling plains of grain, not out in the open field, but he puts it in a Rishos HaYochid. Says the Mishnah Berurah right away, is Katan Chav Gimel Birishos HaYochid. What does this mean that he puts his Eruv in a Rishos HaYochid? Haynu Malkam Shemukaf Mechitzais. He places his Erev in a Mokai Mukaf Mechitzais. This is one of these cases where we are now learning a halacha that we've kind of referenced already several times since the beginning of learning about Eruvei Tchumen. In this case, a person is not just putting his Erev down out in the open, he's putting it in an enclosed space, in a Rishos HaYochid. Therefore, says the Mechaber, Afilo Haysa Medina Gedoyla Kininve. Even if he puts his Eruvei Tchumen in a massive city, and the city of choice that the Mechaber uses to discuss a very large city is Nineveh. Why? Because the Pasuk says, the Pasuk calls Nineveh, Hi Ha'ir HaGedoyla. Pasuk refers to it as a very large city. So when the Mechaber wants to reach out for a large city, he takes his cue from the Pasuk and he uses Nineveh. So even if he set up his Erev in a massive city like Nineveh, Nineveh is a Mokai Mukaf Mechitzais. It has the din of a Rishos HaYochid to this extent. Va'afilu Ir Chareva. Or he puts his Erev in a city that was Mukaf Mechitzais, but it's no longer inhabited. It's a ruined city. It's an Ir Chareva. But the Mechitzais are still intact, and at one point in time, it was a city. Ay Ma'ara Haru'uya L'diurin. Or he puts his Erev in a cave, but it's a cave that is Roy Ladira. In all of these cases, says the Mechaber, Mahalech es Kula, the entire enclosed area that he's using to place his Erev in, that entire area becomes his Makom Shvisa, and therefore Mahalech es Kula, he could travel anywhere inside that enclosed area, Vechutzala Alpayim Amalech HaRuach, and he will also gain a Tchum of Alpayim Amalech HaRuach outside the enclosed area. So he put his Erev in an enclosed area, what the Mechaber calls a Rishos HaYochid. The Mechaber gives us several examples of that, a simple, a walled city, even if it's a huge walled city. It could be a walled-in, ruined city. It could be a cave, a ma'ara, as long as it's ru'uya l'diurin. It has to be something somebody could possibly take shelter in and live in. In all of these cases, that enclosed area becomes his makom shvisa. He could travel anywhere throughout that area, and his tchum will be measured outside that enclosed area. He'll get alpayim ama l'chol ruach. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ice Kalachav Gimel, we did, Bershas Ayachid, Haidamakam Shabuk of Bechitzais, Ice Kalachav Dalit, Vahafilu Ir Chareva, it could be a ruined city, Hainu, Shahayu Badiurin, at one point it was a habited city, Vinechrevu, it was destroyed, but Umechitzes Achayma Nisharu, but the Mechitzais of that city are still intact, so it's still a Rishas Ayachid. The Mechaber spoke about a cave, and he said the cave has to be Ru'uya Lidiyurin. Ritzayin Alarmar, what the Mechaber means to say is, says the Chavetz Chaim, Afilo Ein Ba Diyurin, even though nobody's living in this cave, it's not a habited cave, Elishihi Ru'uya Lidira, but it is Ru'uya Lidira. That's enough. De'im Ein Ru'uya Ladarba, if it's not Ru'uya Lidira, Kigain, for example, Shenifritzu Mechitzayseh, if it's a cave that doesn't have intact mechitzos, it's an enclosed cave, but when you get in there, you got to bend down and you got to crouch. It's less than 10 tefachim tall, so it's not roi ledira. It's what the Gemara in Sukkah would call a dira srucha. V'kayotza bazeh, or in any other similar way, this ma'ara is not roi ledira. In that case, eino necheshev eskar ba'amos, then it would not serve to give him the whole enclosed area as a mokum shvisa. We wouldn't look at it as being similar to an arba amos area, even though it's larger. So it's just interesting. You should take note from this Mishnah Berurah. If the ma'ara, if the cave is not roi ledira, it's not puzzle as far as you can't put your eruv there. We don't say that your Erev is not effective because you put it in a Ma'ara that's not Roy Ladira. We don't need Roy Ladira when it comes to a Mokaim Hanachas Erev. The place that we put the Erev down in does not have to be a Dira. This is not like an Eruv Chatzeros. An Eruv Chatzeros has to go in a bias. You can't put your Eruv Chatzeros in something that's not Roy Ladira. But this is an Eruv Tumen. It doesn't have to be put in a place that's Roy Ladira. The reason we're looking for a mokum that's Roy Ladira over here is for a different halacha. What we want to accomplish is, we want to say that the place that you put your Erev is going to be Nechshav Ka'arba Amos, and instead of your mokum Shvisa being Dalet al Dalet, and then us measuring your Tchum from the Dalet al Dalet borders of your mokum Shvisa, if you put your Erev in a Dira, if you put it in a Rishos HaYachid, if you put it in an enclosed area that's Roy Ladira, then that entire area becomes your Makom Shvisa. It's Nechshav Kedalet Al Dalet, and will measure your Tchum from the outside of that area. A Ma'ara that's not Roy Ladira doesn't meet that bar. So the Makom Shvisa is going to be based on the immediate Dalet Al Dalet surrounding where you put down the Erev in the Ma'ara. But you're not going to get the whole Ma'ara as your Makom Shvisa, and your Tchum is not going to be measured from the outside of the Ma'ara. Ayis Katan Chavav, if you do put it in a Rishos HaYachid, Mahalach is Kula, the Mechaber said, you could travel anywhere inside that Makom Shvisa, says the Mishnah Ayis Katan Chavav, Techashvina La Kula Ka'arba Amos, the entire enclosed area becomes your Dalet Al Dalet. In order for this halacha to be true, the mechitzos surrounding that area have to be mukaf l'shem dira. Now, that's only true if you're dealing with an area that's bigger than a beis asayim. It's larger than 5,000 square amas. That's when we have the requirement that it has to be mukaf l'shem dira. If it's a small cave, it's not bigger than a base of Sayim, we don't need Mukaf L'Shem Dira. Afilu Eina Mukavis L'Dira, Nechshevis Kaba Amais, V'chamavur L'El, B'simin Shin Tzadik Vav, Sif Beis. Moving along to Sif Gimel, two lines off the bottom in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. Says the Mechaber, Hamineach Eruvai B'Soich Ha'ir Sheshav Aspa. Let's say somebody places his Erev inside his city. So he lives inside a city. Without making an Erev, his entire city is his Makom Shvisa, and his Tchum is Alpayim Amal Chorach from the city limits. Now he wanted to make it Eruv Tchumen, but he put his Tchum inside the city. So let's imagine for a minute that this person, what was his thought process? He wanted to pick up 500 Amos to the east of the city. He wanted to be able to travel on Shabbos 500 amas further east than he normally would be able to. He knows that when he goes outside of the city to the Mizrach, there's a signpost, Ad Kan Tchum Ha'ir. He knows that there's a great Daf Yomishir 500 amas further to the east. So okay, he knows, okay, Ruvei Tchumen. I want to gain 500 amos to the east. So he says to himself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home. I'm going to take out my amma measuring tape or my amma measuring rope, right? And I'm going to measure 500 amos to the east from my house. He's going to stay in the city, but he's going to make it a Ruvei Tchumen 500 amos to the Mizrach of the front door of his house. And he thinks that by doing that, he's going to pick up an additional 500 amos to the east when it comes to the Tchum. Well, he didn't accomplish anything, right? Because his Tchum is not measured from his house. His Tchum is measured from the city limits. And when he puts the Erev inside the city, he has accomplished zero. The entire city is already his Makom Shvisa. So he didn't accomplish anything. That's what the Mechaber says here. Hamineche Ruvai b'soich ha'ir she'shavas ba. If somebody makes and puts down an Ruvei Tchumen in the city that he lives in, that he's kind of shvisa in, why also klum? He didn't do anything. And now the Mishnah Berurah puts in a vav. Ve'ein moedidid mimakom eruvai. We're not going to measure his tchum from the place that he puts down his eruv. Ela harehu kibnei ha'ir kulam. He's just like all the other inhabitants of this city. Shigeish lam alpayim amalachal ruach chutz la'ir. They get 2,000 amatchum from the borders of the city and out. So, what are you doing? You're not making a new makom shvisa. You put your tchumen in the city. The city is already your makom shvisa. Says the Mechaber Vayter V'chein, similarly, im nasan eruvai, if he puts down his eruvai tchumen, b'mekoymois hamitstarfim lo'ir, in the area that combines with the city, so that it's not in the city, it's outside of the city, but it's an area that's considered part of the city to the extent shemoydedin hatchum chutz mehem. It's not in the city, it's outside the city limits, but it's part of the city in the context of Hilchas Tchumen, because when you measure the tchum of the city, you don't measure the tchum of the city from the city limit, you measure the tchum of the city from the outside of this area that is mitzaref to the city. What is that? So the Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us it's the Ibur Ha'ir. Remember what we learned, the Ramah, earlier, that when you measure the tchum of the city, you don't go to the city limits and measure from the city limit out 2,000 amos. First, you give the city an Ibur, right? Like the Ishimu Beres, that Baruch Hashem has the bulge. So the city also gets an Ibur. The city gets a bulge of 70 and 2/3 amos, and you begin to measure the 2,000 amah tchum from the end of that 70 and 2/3 amah area. So if somebody didn't, he made his Erev, he didn't make the most basic mistake of putting the Erev inside the city. He realized he has to put the Erev outside the city, but he put the Erev in the Ibur Ha'ir. Now, when it comes to measuring the tchum of the city, the Ibur Ha'ir is considered part of the city. You measure the tchum from outside the Ibur Ha'ir. So says the Mechaber, you put the Erev in the Ibur Ha'ir, it's as if you put it in the city. Same problem. You didn't change your tchum. The Ibur Ha'ir was already included in your Makom Shvisa, and you were already measuring the tchum from outside the Ibur Ha'ir. So you did not accomplish anything. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Eiskot and Chav Zayin, back on Reish Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. My recording was being funny. Loi asa klum, you didn't accomplish anything. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Shareba loi erev nami yeshloim in ear alpayim l'chol ruach. You're already getting a 2,000 amah tchum from outside of the city. V'cholo ir loy ka'arba amais. The entire city is already your arba amais and your makom shvisa. What do you gain by putting an eruv tchum, an eruvei tchumen in the city? Oizkan chavkes, ve'ein moydidin. Mishnah Berurah adds that vav, kein tzarech loymar. That's the way the text should read, says the Chavetz Chaim, v'hu davar echad. It's part of the same sentence. Oizkan chavtes, the Mechaber spoke about the mekayma yisamit starfim lo'ir, the areas that combine with the city. Pirish, what does that mean? Be'ibura shel'ir. You're talking about when you put the Yeruvi Tchumen in the Ibur of the city. What's the Ibur? Explains the Chavetz Chaim in the brackets. V'hu toich shivim amah v'shirayim. That's the area of 70 and 2/3 amas outside the city. V'chanal b'simin shin tzadik ches. Sifhei, like we learned about in shin tzadik ches. Now the Mishnah Berurah makes a very fascinating point. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Va'afilu im nasan oisai ba'ama achroina shel ha'ibur. Let's say the person went out of the city and he went into the Ibur shel ir. And then he went all the way to the last amma of the Ibur Shel Ir. So he's one amma inside of the Ibur Shel Ir, and he puts down his Erev. Now you might think that if he puts his Erev over there, he actually does pick up some ground when it comes to the Tchum. Why? Because he put his Erev down one amma inside the outside border of the Ibur Shel Ir. Now, normally when you put that in the Ruvei Truman, you're kind of a makom shvisa of dalid al dalid surrounding your Erev. Now, if we measure a dalid al dalid square around this fellow's Erev, three amas are going to be outside the Ibur Shel Ir. So maybe he should at least pick up three amas on his trum. Maybe the border of his trum now is 2,003 amas. He picked up through a three amas because he set up an Eruvei Trumin that includes three amas beyond the border of the Ibur Shel Ir. Says the Mishnah, no, he's not even going to get that. Says the Mishnah, even if he puts down his Eruvei Trumin in the last amma of the Ibur Shel Ir, we're not going to give him a dalit al dalit square, which would allow him to pick up some space, litzad chutz. The wording of the Mishnah Berurah, ein noistim loy ha'arba amos. We do not give him the arba amos around his erev, shen noistim l'shar miniach erev, that we normally would give to anybody else who puts down in a ruvei tchumen, not inside a city, litzad chutz, and let it protrude going out of the Ibur Ir so that he should pick up some space. We don't do that, Kamavur La'el. Usually we do that. Why don't we do it over here? Very interesting lamdus. Because when you put down your Eruvei Trumin in an enclosed area, or any other area that is going to be considered for you, like Dalet al Dalet, even though it's bigger than Dalet al Dalet, ein loy litzad chutz klum. You don't get anything outside that area. V'hareyu kishar b'nei o'ir, you remain like everybody else in the city, sh'moided d'tchumai tekif misayif o'ir b'vahala. And we measure your tchum from the outer edge of the Ibur Ir and out. What the Chafetz Chaim seems to be saying is like this. Normally, see, forget, take out that word normally. When you put down an Eruvei Trumin, you're being kaina a mokim shvisa. By default, your makom shvisa is dalet al dalet. So if you put down your Eruvei Trumin out in the rolling plains of grain, you would just kind of shvisa in a makom dalet al dalet. But we know that your makom shvisa is not always dalet al dalet, right? Because if you put down your Eruvei Trumin in an enclosed city that's big like Ninveh, right? So your makom shvisa is not going to be dalet al dalet. Your makom shvisa is going to be huge. Maybe it's going to be 10,000 amos by 10,000 amos. So a makom shvisa is not always dalet al dalet. A makom shvisa default, if you're doing it out in the open, is dalet al dalet. But if you put it in an enclosed area, what's the makom shvisa? Not dalet al dalet. It's the enclosed area. Well, if you put down your Eruvei Trumin in the Ibur of the Ir, that is the equivalent of putting down your Eruvei Trumin in the Ir. What's your makom shvisa? The Ir, not dalet al dalet. So we're not going to give you a dalet al dalet square and allow it to protrude outside the city limits so that you should pick up three amas. No, because your makom shvisa is not dalet al dalet. Your makom shvisa is the Ir. So that's what you're going to get, and you're not going to get anything more than that. Moving along to Sif Dalet. Another one of these Seifim that you kind of wish that it would have been placed earlier on in the halachas of Trum. It's just a basic halacha that we've mentioned many times when it comes to Eruvei Trumin, and yet we don't have it until here. I just had an interesting happening. I'm sitting in the Bis Medrash, and a young Kohl fellow came over to me and asked me to help him out with Pshat in a Gemara in Ksubis. And I helped him out, and I showed him that the reason he was having problems with Pshat and the Gemara is because he wasn't putting the commas in the right places in the phraseology of the Gemara. This is not a Kohl fellow who was making a seventh grade mistake. It was a particularly difficult piece of Gemara in Masechtas Ksubis, and you could read it in several different ways. He wasn't breaking the phraseology upright, and therefore he was coming up with a pshat that couldn't be true. So I helped him out. I gave him pshat in the Gemara, and I explained to him how he has to break it up. Then I smiled at him, and I told him, I said, you know, I remember that my sixth grade Rebbe, I was once schmoozing with him, and he asked me, he said, you know, did you ever ask yourself a question? Why did Chazal have to make it so difficult for us? I mean, come on, why couldn't they put Nekudas in the Gemara? What, they didn't know how? Why couldn't they put Kamas in the Gemara? Why did they have to give us a Shas Bavli written in Aramaic that doesn't have any Nekudas, that doesn't have any punctuation, so that we have to break our heads and we have to figure out where to put the Kamas, where does the Kasha end, where does the Teret start, what's going on? I mean, come on, I mean, make it easy for crying out loud. And he told me the reason is because we know the golden rule called the tikkun rabbanon ke'en daraisa tikkun. When Chazal do something, they always take a cue from the Torah HaKadoshah. They take all of their cues from Sukkim. I like always to point out how if you learn a sefer, let's say, like Chovos HaLevavos, you'll see that the Chovos HaLevavos will go through a whole paragraph explaining very thoroughly a certain concept and why the concept is true. And then when he finishes, he'll bring you seven psukim to show you that it's true. In other words, really, what the Mechaber of the Chovos HaLevavos is telling you is, yeah, all of my logical explanations notwithstanding, it's not true unless I have raya from psukim that it's true. So the same thing, Chazal always took their cue from the Torah HaKadoshah. What does the Torah HaKadoshah do? Take a look at a Sefer Torah. Do we know where a pasuk starts and where a pasuk ends? Yeah, we know because we have a Mesorah, but there's no punctuation in the Sefer Torah. Do we have vowelization? Do we have Nekudas in the Sefer Torah? No. And the truth is we can't have vowelization in the Torah because we know that the Chazal darshened Psukim, right? Oh, even though it's written like this, it could be read like that. And therefore, we're going to make a drasha. So Chazal also, they did it the same way. And the same thing applies really to the organization of Torah Sheba'al Peh. You know, another thing that happened to me years ago, then I was in ninth grade, and I was getting frustrated about a Gemara in Baba Kama, and I said something to one of my Rebbeim, and I said, you know, for heaven's sakes, couldn't Ravina and Ravashi have sat down and written Baba Kama in an organized fashion? I mean, if you wanted to give me a Masechta and you wanted to teach me Torah Dika Tort Law, so, I mean, couldn't you make like a, you know, a section one, paragraph two, you know, rule 2.2 and make a table of contents, etc., etc.? Ravina Ravashi certainly was smart enough to do that, right? They weren't just rambling. But no, that is Torah Sheba'al Peh. We need a Masechta. We need to learn from a Rebbe. It's not supposed to be self-explanatory. It's supposed to be something that we have to harva over and put in amelus, and it's supposed to be something that we have to be makabel from a Rebbe. The reason I bring it up over here is because, like I said, there are these certain times that you finally come to a halacha that we kind of wish we would have seen like five simanim ago, but be that as it may, says the Mechaber, Sif Dalid, top of Ayin Reish Dalid Amit Aleph, here in the last sif of Simon Tov Ches. Nasan Eruvai Chutz L'Tchum. If somebody places his Eruvai Tchumin outside of his existing Tchum. So he lives in a city and he wants to make an Eruvai Tchumin. And he wants to be able to go 3,000 additional Amos to the east. So he says to himself, all right, I need to extend my Tchum. My Tchum is only 2,000 Amos. Oh, you know what? Instead of putting my Erev, 1,500 Amos outside of the city limits, well, which would pick him up 1,500 Amos, which would get him to where he wants to go. He wants to go 3,000 Amos out of the city. He only has to pick up 1,000 Amos. Really, he could put his Eruvai Tchumin 1,000 Amos outside the city. But he says to himself, you know what? I'll do even better than that. I'll put my Tchum, my Erev, where I want to go. I want to go to the Daf Yomi Sher, that's 3,000 Amos to the east of the city. I'll go 3,000 Amos to the east of the city, and I'll put my Erev over there. Okay, he just put his Erev outside of his Tchum, which means that he can't get to his Erev at Ben Hashmashas, right? Because right now his Tchum is based on his Makom Shvi'is in the city. So he can't get to his Erev. Oh, if you can't get to your Erev doesn't work. Now, we learned this already earlier, that the basic rule of Erev is you must put it inside of your Tchum. We just never learned the halacha inside, and we never learned the why. That's what we're going to learn here. It says, the Mechaber Nasan Eruv Echutz L'Tchum, if you put your Erev outside of your existing Tchum, ain't a Tchum. It's worthless. It's totally worthless. It's not an Erev. And it says here in the parentheses, from the Hagos Maimini and the Magid Mishnah, V'yesh lo Tchum mi Beisoy. He's still going to have his basic Tchum based on his Makom Shvi'isa of where his house is. So his house is in the city. He's still going to have 2,000 amos outside of the city. He doesn't surrender his existing Tchum. He maintains his existing Tchum. But his Erev Tchumen, worthless, not going to do anything for him. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kan Lamed, Ein Klum. Why is it Ein Klum? And this is this Mishnah Berurah I wish we would have seen earlier. And he brings down from the Lavush, Kevon She'ev Shaloi Lahagia Shom Bein Hashmashos, since he can't get to his Erev by Bein Hashmashos, Shehu's Man Kenias Erev, which is when the Erev takes effect, right? We know this in our sleep already, that all the halachas of Erev kick in Bein Hashmashos, Shehu's Man Kenias Erev, Me'acha Shehu Chutz L'Tchum Yimokam Shehu Oimed, by Bein Hashmashos, he's back home inside the city. Now, he set up his Erev 3,000 amos beyond the city limits to the Mizrach. He can't get to it during Bein Hashmashos. Oh, you can't get to it during Bein Hashmashos? Well, then he can't become your Makom Shvi'isa during Bein Hashmashos. Because it's during Bein Hashmashos that your Erev has to kick in. If you can't get there, well, then he can't kick in. Now, this brings up something. A listener actually reached out to me, and I'm very sorry if you're listening to this share. I simply don't remember if I got back to you or not. The Olim should just know, you know, people send me questions and ha'aris, and I'm very happy that you do. I'm very thankful to my listeners, and definitely don't hesitate to reach out. Sometimes it takes me time to get back. Sometimes you ask a question, and it's a good question, and it's a question that takes some time to compose an answer. It's not something that I could necessarily just answer on the fly when I'm out and about or in the car or in the middle of doing something else, and then I get backed up, and Baruch Hashem, there's a lot going on. So please, I'm asking Mechila if I don't get back to you in a timely fashion. But I know a listener did reach out to me regarding this concept of the Eruvei Tchumen kicking in and giving you that new Makom Shvi'isa during Bein Hashmashos. And I believe the way the listener asked the question was, he was kind of like, I don't understand, why does it have to kick in during Bein Hashmashos? His question was predicated on the idea, what we've learned is that when Shabbos kicks in and you're in your house and you're in your city, really at that moment, your Makom Shvi'isa is based on your, what we called your before Makom Shvi'isa. It's based on your house and based on your city. Beharaya, right? We said that you can go, if your Erev is 2,000 amos away from the city limits, but it's 2,500 amos away from your house, so based on your current Makom Shvi'isa, you're allowed to go to the Makom Erev, because the Erev is within 2,000 amos of the city. It's within your Tchum. But once you go to the Erev and you pick up your new Makom Shvi'isa based on your Erev, you can't go back home, because now home is out of your Tchum. Home is 2,500 amos away. So based on your after Makom Shvi'isa, you can't go back home. So we see this kind of dichotomy that at the beginning of Shabbos, you're kind of picking up competing Tchumen, which is what I said is one of the reasons why it's called Eruvei Tchumen, because it's a mixture of Tchumen. There's really kind of like almost competing Tchumen that are both active. So this listener wanted to know, Im Kain, why does the Makom Shvi'isa of the Eruvei Tchumen, not only why does it have to kick in Bein Hashmashos, it's almost as if, how can you say that it kicks in Bein Hashmashos, right? There's a nigud to it. There's a competition to it. Maybe it shouldn't kick in during Bein Hashmashos, but it is mevur everywhere. And this is one of the places where it's mevur that no, though both Tchumen, both Makom Shvi'isas kick in Bein Hashmashos. There's no such thing as the Erev not kicking in Ben Hashmash. There is no such thing. We did see a rare example of where you're kind of Shvisa, not Ben Hashmash, you're kind of Shvisa during Shabbos. That was when we spoke about a person on a boat. So if the boat, by Ben Hashmash, it was Lamailam Yud, and then over the course of Shabbos, it went Lamatam Yud, so you're kind of Shvisa when the boat went Lamatam Yud, even though you're being kind of Shvisa during Shabbos. That happens to be a very big Kiddush. But by default, any Makom Shvisa has to happen during Ben Hashmashas. Any Erev has to kick in during Ben Hashmashas. It is a very interesting Chiddush that you could have two competing Tumen kick in both at the same time during Ben Hashmashas. Well, again, that's part of the Chiddush of Chazal of a Ruvei Tumen, right? We're learning Durabbanos. So in any case, what we have over here in Mishnah Berurah is Katan Lamed. And the Mechaber said, you set up your Eruv Trumen outside of your Trumen in a Klum. It's worthless. Why is it worthless? Well, it's worthless because the Trum and the Mokum Shvisa that you want to be generated by your Eruv is going to kick in Ben Hashmashas. It cannot become your Mokum Shvisa if you can't go there. Mokum Shvisa means it's your Mokum Shvisa. It's kind of the place where you live. It's your place of residence. It's your place of rest for the in the context of Hilchas Truman. Well, it can't be that if you can't go there. And if it's out of your Trum, then you can't go there. So that's why, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's why it cannot be effective if it's out of your Trum. And again, he's bringing this down from the Lavush. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in the final Mishnah Berurah of this beautiful simon, Mishnah Berurah is cut in Lamed Aleph. Trum mi beisoi. But we said here in the parentheses, which I believe is the Ramah, that you still are going to have the trum of your house. You're not surrendering your house as your basic makom shvisa, says the Mishnah Berurah. Why? Because you oimed be beisoi, oi be trum beisoi. Because as long as you're in your house during Ben Hashmashas, or you're anywhere within the trum of your house during Ben Hashmashas, Amrinan, we say, we're not going to leave you in the lurch, right? We're going to assume that, yeah, you wanted to set up an Erev, but you didn't set up an Erev in an effective way. So we're going to assume that, no, you don't want not to have a Makom Shvisa, right? You want to have a Makom Shvisa. So by default, we're going to give you the Makom Shvisa and the Trum generated by your house. You can look here in the Bir Alacha, over there, in the Bir Alacha, Dibur Hamaskel V'Nishar, for greater detail. Moving along to Simon Tuf Tes. Din Mekayim Nesinas Ha'erev, the Alachas that govern the location where you are going to place your Eruvei Trumin, Ubayud Gimel Se'ifim, and here we have 13 Se'ifim. A very interesting Sif Aleph, says the Mechaber Sif Aleph. Hanoisein Eruvai Bebeis HaKvaris. If somebody places his Eruv in a Beis HaKvaris. Now, what exactly does this mean, that you put the Eruv in a Beis HaKvaris? So, simply reading those words, you're picturing in your mind that somebody goes to the cemetery and he puts his Eruv down somewhere in the cemetery. We're going to see in the Mishnah Berurah that that's not really what this means. Let's say that in the Beis HaKvaris, there's a binyan, there's a structure. And inside the structure, there is a kever. You see these sometimes in the Beis HaKvaris. You see, wealthy family or something, they built a binyan made out of stone or made out of wood. They built a structure, and the kever is inside the structure. So if you put the Erev inside that structure, then you're going to have a problem. You put your Erev inside this kind of Beis HaKvaris, Enoi Erev, it is not going to be an effective Erev. And the Mechaber gives us a reason why. And this is one of those cases where, because the Mechaber gives us a reason why, the Mechaber is following one Lashon of the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, I believe it is. And the Mechaber over here is not doing it by himself. He's following a Rambam. It's not an Erev. Why, says the Mechaber? Lefi shebeis hakvaros aser bahano. Because this structure is Osir Bahano. This is something that was made Litzarche Hamase. It was made for the purposes of the mace, and therefore it's Osir Bahano. One of the ways we know this, that something that's made for a mace is Osir Bahano, is from an interesting Xereshava. The Torah Gdoisha puts the Parsha of Egla Arufa next to the Parsha of Misas Miriam. And the Gemara dashes from there that just like an Egla Arufa is Osir Bahano, so too something that was made for a mace is Osir Bahano. This structure was built Litzarche a mace, therefore it's Osir Bahano. And since it's Osir Bahano, you cannot use it for your Eruvei Trumin. Now why not? How is making my Eruv Tchum and putting my Eruvei Tchumin inside this structure, how does that constitute benefiting from the Tzarchei HaMeis? So explains the Mechaber, the Kevan Sheroitza B'kiyam Eruv Shom, since you want your Eruv to be protected, and you want your Eruv to be protected Achar Kenia, even after Bein Hashmoshes. You don't want your Erev to be protected only during Bein HaShmoshes at the Zman that your Erev goes into effect. You want your Erev to be protected even after the Zman, Kinyasa Erev. Why? Well, let's say your Erev is to Bilkalach. Maybe after Shabbos you want to be able to go collect those two Bilkalach and use them for the Malava Malka. So it's not pshat that I want my Erev to be protected up until the Zman Kinyasa Erev, and then I don't care. No, you want your Erev to be protected even after the Zman Kinyasa Erev. Therefore, Hare Nenaboy. Therefore, it's called that you're getting benefit from this structure that was made for the mace, which is Osir Bahano, and therefore your Erev is not an effective Erev. Now, I just said a lot, and some of you are wondering, well, wait a second. Why isn't it called Hana? Simply because you're putting your Erev there for the Zman Kinyasa Erev. You need a place to put your Erev so that you should be kind of Shvisa over there. You're using this structure that was made for the mace to become your Makom Shvisa. Why doesn't that itself constitute a Hana? Why does the Mechaber have to tell me, oh, you want your Erev to be protected even after Bein HaShmoshes, even after the Zman Kinyasa Erev? That's why it's a problem. But if it would only be for Bein HaShmoshes, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, let's go to the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Kan Aleph Hanoisein. Somebody went ahead and he put his Erev in his Pesach Kvaras. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Mayri Afilu B'Yisrael. First of all, you should know, you might have been tempted to look at this Mechaber, and you might have been tempted to say, oh, you know why putting your Erev in a Pesach Kvaras is a problem? Probably we're talking about a Kohen. And a Kohen is not allowed to go into a Beis HaKvaros because he's not allowed to expose himself to Tumas Meis. So probably we're talking about a Kohen. Therefore, the Erev is not good because you have to be able to go to your Makom Erev during Bein HaShmoshes, and a Kohen can't go to the Makom Erev because it's in a Beis HaKvaros. You might have been tempted to say that. And indeed, there is a pshat in the Gemara like that. But the Mechaber is not learning that way. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mayri Afilu B'Yisrael. It's very clear from the explanation of the Mechaber that the reason you can't use the Beis HaKvaros for your Makom HaErev applies equally to a Kohen or to a Yisrael. Because the problem is having Hana from the binyan that was made for the mace. The problem is not Tumas Meis. So it's an equal opportunity problem. It's a problem even for a Yisrael. Mayri Afilu B'Yisrael. Indeed, if this Erev was established for a Kohen, that without the Mechaber's reasoning, it would also be a problem. Certainly, if you did this for a Kohen, it would be a problem because he can't get to his Erev. The came the Kohen who lay Efsher. But we're talking even about a Yisrael, because the Mechaber's problem applies even to Yisrael. Ice cotton bays, Osir Bahano. This structure is Osir Bahano. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, Mayri Bekever Shel Binyan. We're not talking about just a Beis HaKvaros, a cemetery, the way you think about it. We're talking about a structure that has a kever inside it. Dilo Nisanai Bekever Shel Karka, Shari. If you would just have a Beis HaKvaros and you put the Erev down on the ground of a kever, that would not be a problem. The karka oilam loy nesar, because the dirt of the kever the dirt of the world, literally, does not become Osir Bahana. That dirt was not made Litzarchei Hames. If it's a structure, it was made Litzarchei Hames. The dirt is not Litzarchei Hames. The dirt is part of the world. It's part of the ground. It doesn't become Osir Bahana. The Cholshkeit, certainly, if you didn't put the Erev down on the actual dirt of the Kever, Rak ala Karkashib, you put it in the Beis HaChayim, somewhere between the graves, then certainly your Erev would be an Erev if you're Yisrael. The Ein Sham Yisrael HaNa Klal, because there is no Yisrael HaNa, certainly on the dirt between the graves. Ois Katan Gimel, the Mechaber explained that the problem over here is that the Kever is Osir Bahana. Then the Mechaber went to great lengths to explain what? It's Osir Bahana. What Hana are you getting? Oh, said the Mechaber, the Hana that you're getting is that you want the Erev to be protected even after Ben Hashmashos, even after the Zman Kenias HaErev, you still want the Erev to be protected. And this structure, the Beis HaKfaris, is affording your Erev protection after the Zman Kenias HaErev. That constitutes a Hana that you're not allowed to get. Seems very excessive. Says the Mishnah is cut in Gimel, the Mashamunach Shom Ben Hashmashos, Shushas Kenias Shvisa. The fact that the Erev is going to be there during Ben Hashmashos at the Zman Kenias HaErev, Lo Ichbaslan. That doesn't bother us. That would not constitute a Hana that you're not allowed to get from the Beis HaKfaris. Why, explains the Chavetz Chaim, Kevon She'ein Ma'arvin Elo L'Dvar Mitzvah. Because we learned that Lechatchila, you're only allowed to make an Erev Trumin for the purposes of a mitzvah. Mitzvahs lav lahanas nitnu. We have the golden rule that mitzvahs are not hano. So if you're making an Eruvei Trumin so that you can go to a Daf Yomishir, so you're making an Eruvei Trumin for a Tzarech mitzvah, then the fact that you put it in a Beis HaKfaris and it's there during Ben Hashmashos, and you're using the Beis HaKfaris to be kind of Shvisa during Ben Hashmashos, that's not a hano because that's a Dvar mitzvah. And mitzvah slav lahanas nitnu. So that doesn't constitute getting a forbidden benefit from the Beis HaKfaris. But this, that you want it to be protected even after the Zman Kinyasa Erev, so that you can use the Bilkalach for Matzah Shabbos from a love of Alka, that constitutes a forbidden Hana. And therefore, you're not allowed to be kind of Shvisa over there in the base HaKfaris. Let's go weiter, second line into Sif Aleph here, in the middle of the line. V'im nisanoi bebeis ha-pras. Let's say you put the Eruv in a beis ha-pras. What's a beis ha-pras? A beis ha-pras is a field that was known to contain a kever. There was a grave inside this field. And then, you know, graves weren't always very grand affairs with big matzevas and everything else. There was a grave and it had maybe a small marker. And maybe the grave kind of got forgotten. And then somebody hitched up a team of oxen to a plow and plowed the field. He didn't do it intentionally, maybe. He did it by accident. He didn't realize there was a kever there. But now we know that a kever was plowed. Now, normally, when you bury somebody, you put them pretty deep. And you usually put the maize deeper than the blades of the plow are going to reach. But midrabanan, we are concerned that maybe the blades of the plow reached the mace and churned up the bones of the mace. Now, there may be a bone fragment laying on the ground. That bone fragment might be larger than the size of a sa'ira, than the size of a kernel of barley. And if a kohen came into contact with it, he would become tamei. So a kohen is not allowed to go into a beis ha-pras midrabanan. To din d'rabanan, a kohen is not allowed to walk through a beis ha-pras. Based on this, says the Mechaber, v'im nisani b'beis ha-pras, if you put an Erev in a beis ha-pras, harei ze Erev, it is a good Erev, v'afilu haya kohen, and it's a good Erev even for a kohen. Why? I thought a kohen is not allowed to go into a beis ha-pras. Says the Mechaber, no, not so simple. Because there is a way for a kohen to go through a beis hapras. As a matter of fact, there's two ways. One is neshiyachli kanesham b'migdal ha-pireach. One way is he's allowed to go inside a migdal, literally a box. This is, I forgot what they call it in English. It's a box with a seat in it, and you're carried either by animals or by people. So he could go inside the beis hapras with this kind of box, which is going to make a mechitza between him and the beis hapras. Or Chazal allowed another way for a kohen to go through a beis hapras, and that is a kohen's allowed to walk through a beis hapras if he watches the ground in front of him and he blows on the ground. Because remember, this is only a chashash de rabbanon. Really, the blades of a plow usually don't reach the mace. So, midaraisa, there's no reason to be concerned. It's only chashash de rabbanon. For the chashash de rabbanon, the rabbanon allowed a kohen could go through the beis hapras, pay attention to the ground in front of him, blow on the ground. If there is a bone, an etzem kisa'ira, then either he'll blow it out of his way, or he'll see it, and then he'll avoid it. So there is a way for a kohen to negotiate a beis hapras, and therefore the Erev is an Erev in a beis hapras, even for a kohen. Says the Mishnah Berurah, katan dalid, b'beis hapras, what's a beis hapras? Husada shenecharash b'kever. This is a field in which a kever was plowed. The chayshina midrabanan, there is a concern midrabanan shevinisha shamadayin etzem kisa'ira, that there may be a bone fragment extant over there in the field that is at least the size of a barley corn. This is an effective erev. The leshach kan isaran al klal. So first of all, for Yisrael, there's no concern at all because the beis hapras is not osur ba'ano. Ois katan vav, but it's even okay for a kohen. Ois katan vav mipnei, because there is a way for a kohen to negotiate a beis hapras. Ritzon lomar after midrabanan also lekohen leilich sham. Even though midrabanan there is an issur rabbanon for a kohen to negotiate a beis hapras. Why? Shema yosit baraglav etzem kisa'ira, because we're afraid that he may step on or otherwise move a bone fragment the size of a sa'ira with his feet. Demetabe b'maga umasa, and a bone fragment the size of a sa'ira would make him tame if he comes into contact with it or if he moves it. And therefore you might be concerned that a kohen cannot put his erev in a beis hapras because he can't reach his erev. Shari, it's still mutter. Why? Because there's two ways for him to negotiate the beis hapras. He could go into it in a migdal hapireach. What is this migdal hapireach? Explains the Mishnah Berurah. V'unisa al gabe shvarim. It's a box that's being carried on top of oxen. Sha'al yedei zeh lo yozuz be'etzem. And by doing that, he's not going to come into contact with the etzem, with the bone. I misspoke earlier. I said it's because it's a mechitza. It's not because of a din mechitza. It's because the whole concern is that he may come into contact with the bone fragment. But if he's in this box that's being carried, he's not going to come into contact with the bone fragment. But v'davka b'beis hapras shehu midrabanan, this is only allowable in a beis hapras, which is only nisa drabanan ve'ebay tumas oil. There's no tumas oil. We don't have to be afraid that he's going to be mahil al ha etzem, because it's only a concern midrabanan. Ma she'enke b'beis hakvaris ef shebeitz zul kayin. Kayin's not allowed to be carried in a migdal in a beis hakvaris memneshu mahil al hakvarim, because he will form an oil over the kever and he'll become tame. This is true even if he's in a migdal that is arbam sa, lo have a chatzitza beinu la kever. It's still not considered a chatzitza between him and the kever. The kamalon oil zarek lav shmei oil, because since this is an oil that is in motion, we paskin that the box that he's contained in is not considered a separate oil to protect him from the kvarim beneath him, because it's an oil that's in motion, and an oil zarek lav shmei oil, v'chol she'ena oil, ena chaitzis. Since it doesn't constitute an oil, it's not a chatzitza between him and the kvaris. So in a beis hakvaris, a migdal pareach is not an eitzah for a kohen. But in a beis hapras, that's only a din derabanan, then a migdal pareach is an eitzah. Ois katan zayin, the other way for the kohen to negotiate the beis hapras is sheyin afeach, that he'll blow on the ground. explains to Mishnah Berurah again, kimipnei shu b'drabanan, since the base of pras is only chash b'drabanan, samchu l'hakel, the Chazal relied on him blowing on the ground and were makel on him to allow him to negotiate the base of pras. V'leilech, he could go through it ayidei nipuach b'fiv, by blowing on the ground through his mouth. V'im yesham etzem kisa'ira, and if he will see on etzem kisa'ira, yidcheu, he'll blow it away. The etzim gadol, and if there's even a bigger bone that's not going to get blown away, yireihu, he's paying attention. He'll see it, and he will avoid it. We're going to stop over here. We'll continue next time with Sif Beis. Thank you so much for joining me for Liman HaTorah. This is the Liman HaTorah. Should be Megan and God's Klal Yisrael. The Rebbe Shem should send Yeshua's and first Panasin should do him to all those in need. We should be zeichet to see the B.S. called Tzedek. B'mehera v'yabenu. Amen. Be well.